for the 54th. I'm Garrett Brown.
And I'm Preston Brown. Welcome back to our show. And today we have with us James and Andrea Wheat, and we will let them introduce themselves for us.
Hi, I'm James Wheat.
And I'm Andrea Wheat. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We're really grateful. Andrea, you're our cousin. You're Jim and Pam's daughter. So we've spoken to your parents on the show before, so we're really grateful to have you. James, we're very excited to have you as well. We know the Wheats are an important part of life in Fort St. John, so we're glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Our first question is, how did you end up in the Peace Country?
I was born in Vanderhoof, if anybody knows where that is. My parents moved to Fort St. John when I was a year and a half old, and I was basically raised in Fort St. John after that. Then I moved away.
Nice.
When I turned 40-ish.
That's a very healthy amount of time to spend there.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask, James, what took your parents up there to Fort St. John?
Dad found a job.
A typical Peace Country reason.
Yeah. Well, Dad, he went in Vanderhoof. Dad was building log houses, and the company he was working with went belly up, and he lost his shirt and first set of pants and pretty much everything else he owned. And he had his mechanic ticket to fall back on, so his brother got him a job with an oil field company up there, and he was their mechanic. And Dad was bush mechanic till I was like 12 years old. That's all I remember. Like, Dad would go out to camp all winter long, and Mom would be home with us kids.
Yeah, Andrew, do you want to tell us how your experience of Fort St. John, like growing up?
Like, well, I guess of my siblings, I'm the only one who wasn't actually born in Fort St. John. I was born in Johnson Creek. So I'm like,
still the Peace Country.
Still the Peace Country. Absolutely. It sure is. So, yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Charlie Lake was a great place to grow up. I liked it a lot. We had, you know, the acre that we lived on. That grandma and grandpa had, you know, prepped and like tiered and stuff. So that was really good. It's a pretty good place to grow up, where you can go outside and, you know, kind of disappear into the woods in the background a little bit. And yeah, being able to be kind of close to nature, as well as, you know, kind of a small community. It's really, really nice. And you can, yeah, I made some really good friends who we met along the way. And I mean, from school, Charlie Lake School was a good school. So, and then because we lived on that frontage road, it was kind of like having, you know, we had neighbors who were fairly acre by acre and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then there was Provincial Park at the top of the hill. And like, that was always fun to go and explore. And the lake was, you know, within walking distance. I mean,
yeah.
Charlie Lake might not be, you know, like the most idyllic swimming lake, of course, with, you know, the algae and the,
wasn't bad when I was growing up. Like, it was, we go to the Provincial Park up on the west side of the lake there, and it was beautiful swimming out there when I was a kid.
The Beaton Park,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, is the one over there. You betcha.
And it's just, after I turned 20, 25, that's when the algae came. Like, after my teenage years, the lake wasn't good to go on anymore. But before that, heck, I spent the whole day on a tube and a piece of plywood with Matt Anderson.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, you should have seen the sunburn that day.
I imagine, right? Back before, you know, like, we got slathered with sunscreen.
Oh, no. You know how often I like putting on sunscreen. We went on a float down the Red Deer River through Drumheller this year, last summer.
Yes.
And let's just say that me, Jimmy, Lillian, and one of her friends went down the river together. And Lillian was the only one smart enough to put sunscreen on. I was basically as red as a lobster after that. It was bad.
All along his shins. So right where there's not the, like, the flesh to give you just that little hint of, like, okay, It's tender. It's just, but like right on the shins was so red.
And my arms.
Except for one spot just above his ankle where he had crossed his legs over. So red tops of his feet. And then like this one white band and then red all the way up to his knees and above. Just like
I where still your got shirt the line. Tan line too.
Right? Yep. Yep. Yep.
That was like 7 months ago.
Wow. Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah. Your arms have recovered a little bit.
Yeah, my arms are, but I still got that tan line right there.
Yeah, on my leg. Sure. Hey,
it's
ready.
So yeah,
ready for the new summer.
From growing up, growing up up north, you do not develop. You're very white until the sun comes up.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Even yes. Now in March, the UV index is just breaking, going from 1 to 2.
Right?
It's up from 0 to 1, and it's now going from 1 to 2.
Yeah, I think anytime we went to like the family reunions down stateside for Lewis family reunions, it's like, you can tell who the Canadian cousins are. They glow.
Or you go down in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because I know when I went down, my grandfather passed away a bunch of years ago, and his funeral was on Valentine's Day in Garland, Utah. And me and all my cousins, the oldest boys of the family, were basically all the pallbearers. And we're all lined up outside. And, you know, it was the 14th of February in Utah. So it was, what, 5-6 below Celsius? I mean, it wasn't cold at all to me. And then my cousin, like, I'm one of the youngest daughter's child. And my cousin Dale was at the front of the line, beginning of the line. He's like, well, we all know who the Canadian is. And then I'm looking around. I'm standing outside. It's snowing that day. I'm wearing a shirt, tie, and my sleeves rolled up to here. And, like, no toque, nothing. I'm looking up and down the other side of the line. They're all parka, toque, gloves, shivering. And they're all cold. And I'm like, well, y'all are just wusses. And my cousin, who's a concrete guy out of Phoenix, I called him the biggest was there. And we laughed. But yeah, you know, no. It's a Canadian thing.
It is. You betcha.
Because that's when, when I was living up north, working at the tire shop. And on days when it was 30 below, you know, you'd wear your coveralls and you'd have your sleeves rolled up to get underneath the truck. And you didn't care if the wind was blowing. You just threw a toque on.
Yeah.
If it was too cold, you said, no, I'm not working today.
Or like when you're walking outside when it's that cold and like your eyelashes freeze and then you walk inside and you're like, I'm melting, my face is melting. So yeah.
No, that was always condensation on the beard because you come in with the ice.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You may not know Andrea, the ice in the beard.
I don't have a beard, but like I've seen the ice beards, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've also not experienced the ice beard, Andrea, but I do have the experience of coming inside and then I realize I can't talk because I haven't opened my mouth in a couple hours and it's like, oh, my cheeks are frozen in place. It's like,
right? Yeah. Like, or like when you're
trying to warm up my cheek muscles.
Or like, and even walking in the winter and like the fronts of your thighs and stuff, it's kind of like, oh, they slowly freeze and then you're like, it's all tingly. But you have to be careful that you take care of that or else you can actually like chafe the fronts of, you know, because it's like, oh, it's frozen.
You can actually get frostbite and damage your body.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. You seem to freeze that much quicker every time that you go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I've learned is living in a colder area. It's like, it's okay to be uncomfortable with the cold. It's just like, it may be uncomfortable, but it's like, it's okay. It'll be all right.
Yep. I always laugh because some people, they have their command starts for their vehicles in like Arizona to like pre-air condition their vehicles, right? And stuff.
Yes.
And we're all like, yeah, we're start our vehicles up because we don't want our hands to like freeze to the steering wheel.
The first air conditioned vehicle I ever owned was your car.
The one that we got when we first got married.
Yeah, Simon.
Simon, yeah.
Before that, like my car never had air conditioning.
Yeah.
Air conditioning was 4 down 60.
Right, yeah, yeah. Your windows down.
60 mile an hour.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
First two, my gosh. I never realized like what air conditioning was or could it explain why in the world I ever got so sick when we traveled until after we got air conditioning. It's like, oh my gosh, I was just overheated. And yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd always get one arm was more tan than the other. It's like, okay, you can tell who the driver is, who the passenger is, by which arm has the color.
Yeah, especially in the western side of the country where the roads are so long and straight.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. My experience here driving from Toronto to other parts of the eastern side of the U.S., the roads through New York and Pennsylvania are pretty windy.
Are they? So. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Appalachian Mountains and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh. So. Yeah.
Garrett, like, those aren't mountains.
I know they're not mountains.
They call them?
My wife tells me frequently that I'm a mountain snob.
Well, I'll back you up on it, because unless there's snow on it all year round, it ain't a mountain.
That's what my definition was, too, and she said that makes me a snob.
Okay, no. I guess I'm a snob with you there, bud.
I thought, like, the Canadian Rockies are big, and some of them really are.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when I went to Alaska, and I saw some of the Alaska Ridge Mountains, I was like, those are big mountains.
Well, yeah, well, those are still part of the Rocky Mountains.
Right? They're the biggest in North America, right?
Mm.
Some of the biggest, yeah, in North America, yeah.
Up in Yukon, Alaska area.
Well, yeah, I've been up there, too. I hiked the Chilkoot Pass one year.
Did you? It's on my back burner bucket list.
Well, if you're ever looking in through the old things there, we went through in 88, I believe it was. My scout troop went through in 88, and it was, I don't know if you remember Kent Shirtliff and Wayne Shirtliff.
I remember Wayne.
Yeah, I remember Wayne.
Okay, Wayne was the scout leader. Kent was with us there. There was Jason Stratty, Damon Zollinger, me, Dennis Folk, if you remember him. It was Colin and Garrett and Shane. Oh, who else was on there? A whole bunch of us.
It's a pretty big troop.
Oh, it was, and we all fit in Wayne's van.
Does that sound so safe now?
1980s, Garrett.
We all fit. We all had a seatbelt, sort of.
It was a big 15-passenger van.
Oh, yeah, it was one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it smelled pretty bad on the way back, but, well, 10 people. No showers.
Yeah, it'd be pretty bad. So what was your transition like from like childhood to adulthood in the Fort St. John area, seeking out work opportunities or education?
Let's see. I dropped out of high school and went to work for Cal Tire. And I stayed there until they made me angry. And then I went to school to have a pre-op pipe fitting course, and pipe fitting didn't turn out well, so I turned to plumbing, and now I'm a plumber. I transitioned from school to work life was really easy because I just quit school.
Yeah.
I was addicted to a paycheck really quickly, and I didn't see a future going to school anymore. Like, I knew I wasn't going to go to college at all. So,
yeah,
working was my way to get through it. I did not go into the oil patch. I refused to be that guy. Yeah. I wanted a job where I could be home every night. I spent a few nights in camps once, never did like it. So I found a job where I could stay in home every night.
Yeah. I mean, for centuries, indoor plumbing's been a pretty big deal. So,
well, it is.
You're set.
I don't think that's going anywhere either.
Yeah.
Besides downhill.
that's the first rule of plumbing.
It's like that line in Hercules, indoor plumbing, it's gonna be big.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yep. How about you, Andrea?
Oh, good.
What was your experience like?
Let's see. I'm like, I'm just a big kid. No. I got my first job at Tim Hortons. So, and that was fun. I mean, like, you get around other people in, like, quick environment and just, yeah, it was really, really fun. Odd hours sometimes, right? You're like, sometimes you'll do a, you know, like the 4 o'clock shift for the baking, or sometimes you'll do the, you know, the 6 o'clock or the 12 to eight and stuff. But I think the only one that I didn't do long term was probably the overnight shift and stuff. So I think I covered it once or twice and I was like, I don't think I can I don't think I'd be able to do this long term. Not with like the young adult activity type of things that we did with the church and stuff. So yeah, like I guess, yeah, transitioning from school. I graduated in 2001. We laugh. So James and I are about 10 years apart and stuff. So he kind of giggles sometimes. He's like, oh man. I secretly giggled when he was
I
like
dropped out in 92.
1998, et cetera. Or like 1998, you said. And I was like, I was fine. But and you guys were like, we weren't even born yet.
Yep,
that is correct. We're early 90s kids.
Am I that much older than you two?
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, James. You started earlier than we did. That's all.
So how did you guys meet then?
Which time, right? No.
Well, don't spoil the good story with facts, so.
We're like, how did what? We paintball. Is that our
Yeah, well,
beginning?
that's the first time I was still weird at that
I
point.
know, right?
It's
Okay,
like
so
you,
that doesn't count. Well, it kind of counts.
well, it
Like
kind of
that's our
counts because
first.
that's the first you gave me all your paintballs
I did.
so I could go shoot everybody and
My
you could
goodness.
get away without getting hit.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
So at Leech's Tire, they had kind of, whether it was yearly or every few years, they did like paintball in the back, kind of where they store the tires and things like
And I was working at Cal Tire at the time, and
And
they
you
invited
both.
us over
Yeah.
so
And
they could
so
shoot us.
I'm like, well, you get two brothers that work at opposing tire shops, right? A little bit. And yeah. I'm like, and Browns may or may not be competitive.
No, Wheats either. No, we're not competitive at all.
Oh, gosh. But
Our kids are screwed.
yeah, so yeah, I was hiding a tire and he came by and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is nerve-wracking. Like you can take these. I'll walk off the field this time. So that was my first experience with paintball. And then the next time I like hid into like the next a few years later, I like hid in like a stack of tires. And then I would pop up and like shoot people as they were running by.
Yep, it's a good strategy.
I wasn't there for that
Yeah.
one.
So no, I don't think that you were. But yeah, no, I think that's the first time that we had ever met. But yeah, it wasn't until, oh gosh, when?
Is that through
I
my
was
divorce?
working because I worked with your sister in the bookstore. So I worked at Encore Books. There
Then
was a used bookstore called Encore Books in Fort St. John.
that burned down.
And it burnt down in 2004. And so Craig and Cynthia opened another bookstore and also like a children's consignment clothing store as well. And so I was helping with that a little bit as well as working at Tim Hortons and then doing, I don't know. I feel like when you're like young and or like 20s and stuff like that, you kind of like add a lot of things onto your plate, right? So it's kind of like, okay, volunteering at the vet clinic and doing a couple hours at the school with like educational assistant type stuff and then working at Tim Hortons and putting in some time to help the bookstore and stuff to try and because they had their family as well. And so, but they had started off with the used clothing store, just kind of as a small startup for the consignment store. And James had come in and had lost his glasses and
Oh
bottom.
yeah, singles conference.
Yeah,
Yeah, glasses, metal glasses, new glasses.
at a singles conference in
Calgary.
Calgary, yeah, in the Bow River, off of like a tubing thing and stuff. And like, I need new glasses. And I was like, I do too. I'll come with you and stuff. So we went and picked out new glasses and
I found a nice set of frames.
he did. He found a great pair of frames and like then when he went back to go and find them, he's like, "Where in the world are they?" They were on my face.
She took them.
So I adopted them and we found you a different
I had to
pair.
buy different pairs again,
Yeah,
yes.
you betcha.
Yeah, not
Yeah,
quite seeing
and
eye to eye.
right. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, you were complaining about how one of your guy friends was
Not
saying,
one of them,
oh,
all three
okay,
of them.
fine. All three of them were like, you should date this person and stuff. And I was like, well, why didn't you take me out? Right. Like, oh,
Then I said,
yeah.
okay, when do you want to go out?
And we did. So we proceeded to take our date to Dawson Creek.
And then my brother crashed our first date.
That is true. Oh man. Yeah,
I was
sorry.
not happy with him that
No,
day.
I know. And that's, yeah, I'm like,
Yeah, and I
right?
tried to teach you how to drive my car.
Right. Yeah. You're so a standard shift. And
Yes,
while I
stick shift.
understand, yeah, the stick shift, right?
Yeah.
The like a standard vehicle. And like, while I understand the concept to get my foot to do what my brain is telling it to do and to shift, I was like, I'm not great at this. And rather than like continue to practice and embarrass myself, I was like, I think I'm good to let you drive again.
Then we went and bought ice cream.
And then ice cream, you betcha. Then we had ice cream.
But
So,
our dinner was the worst lasagna ever,
oh my
known to
gosh,
man.
it was so bad. Oh,
That's impressive because it's usually pretty hard to mess up
it's oh,
it
yeah. Oh, yeah.
is hard to mess
And
up.
if you still remember it being bad, it was bad.
It was
It was
bad.
bad.
So they hadn't strained the noodles enough, or they had sat in the water for too long waiting for some. I'm not sure
The
what
meat
they did.
sauce was not,
And so it was
yeah.
runny and just
Well, it was
not.
watery, and then the meat
Yeah.
sauce was just like clumps,
Yeah,
and
because
they
it
didn't
was.
melt the cheese long enough.
Yeah.
And then the garlic
Yeah.
toast was actually pretty good,
You're like, the garlic toast was great.
though.
Yeah. And I'm sure that,
Problem is, while we were eating our food, Eric was sitting there drinking coffee that I'm paying for too. Butthead.
I'm like, it all turned out for the best
Oh, yeah, you're still a
anyways.
butthead. What?
So yeah, I don't know. Is that the information that you're looking for? I'm like,
It is. It's pretty
it's
great.
quite the story.
and now it's going to be passed to posterity. Like, oh my gosh.
Everybody has a story to tell, and as years go by, they often get more humorous and more
Oh my
memorable.
gosh. They do, right? We've been together, what, 18 years now? In July, we'll be 18
We'll be
years.
married
Sorry, we'll
18
have been
years in
married
July.
18 years in July. We went on our first date 20 years ago in
Well,
August.
it's been that long.
It's been that long.
How do you put up with me for that long?
With practice.
I'm an angel. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I know.
yeah.
I'm like, it's mutual, right? Like, we put up with each other,
It's
but
a team.
it's just, yeah.
Marriage is a team effort.
Oh, absolutely. You betcha.
Yeah,
No,
we'll go with that
that's.
one.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Just normal people living normal lives.
Normalize crazy
Yeah.
stories. Yeah.
Yeah, it's small town.
Yep.
Dating pool is small.
And we laugh about that because Eric married my sister and stuff, right? And
Yes.
so sisters married brothers, and we kind of like tease sometimes that it's like, oh,
Yeah,
we're.
but my younger brother married your older
That
sister.
is true. Yes.
And I'm still
That's.
older than everybody.
I know. And I'm younger than everyone in your
Yes,
family,
you are.
even your baby brother.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Micah was born in
Yeah.
82.
Yep. And I was 83.
83
You
and
betcha.
the end of 83,
Yes.
almost 84.
Still 83.
Yeah,
Still
83.
83, right? Yep.
Still counts.
It still counts. So, yep.
And so does it feel odd to be your own in-law?
Oh, what did you tell Eric the other day?
The stages of my love for my brother. When we're on good terms, he's my brother. When we're on bad terms, he's my brother-in-law. When I'm totally pissed off at him, he's Sonia's husband. And he goes, well, that's the same way I feel about you. I'm like, good. So, we had a little laugh about that, and then we started talking about guns again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you bet.
Oh.
Yep. So yeah. I mean, it makes for a really close-knit family and stuff. 'Cause I
Yeah.
mean, like my parents with their seven children, there's only two of us girls. And so they only have we're just Browns and Wheats, right? And so like we it's just Browns and Wheats. That's what they've got. And so they share the same in-laws and stuff. So
Has anyone ever made the comment that it's whole wheat?
absolutely. You betcha.
Okay, it's like, yeah,
Right?
that seems like a really obvious joke somebody must have said
Right. Oh,
before.
for sure, right? Or like or brown wheat and stuff. And it's like I'm like, oh, I was born to be a baker, right? And stuff. When I was working at Tim Hortons, it always made me laugh because we would write brown and white on the like on the boxes just to like quickly be able to visualize them. But then they're like whole wheat or or the white, and stuff like that in Italian on the actual labels. And I'm like, ah, we're right on the box. So, yeah. It made for a really fun Halloween the one year when I had Lillian, because I made her a little cupcake costume. And then I dressed up as a baker. And then I, you know, made the joke of, oh, I have a bun in my oven. Right.
Well, you were pregnant with Jimmy.
And I
that
was
year.
Pregnant with Jimmy that year. So it was pretty fun.
What did I go as that year?
Oh, gosh.
Was that the year I did Wario?
No, we did the Mario and Wario together, I believe, the year before, because Lillian was Toad.
Oh,
it was
right.
Toadstool. And
oh, that's adorable.
So, because we did trunk or treats at the church and stuff. So,
yeah.
Which was really fun. It made it so that you could do more trick-or-treating in a short period of time.
Not when I was
like, because it was so cold for Halloween, right? Like,
yeah.
Every costume, you had to plan it to go over top of like a snowsuit.
Yep.
Or you had to be like, okay, my costume has to be really obvious from my shoulders up or from my face up because you can't see it otherwise. So yep. I remember being a princess one year and like, oh gosh, yeah, you couldn't tell. And it's like, here's your crown, but like, here's your like toque and your earmuffs. And
I remember one year Meg yeah. tried to get me into a clown costume.
Oh, I suppose that didn't go over very well.
Oh no, she actually tricked me. I put it on. I'm like, you're not going to get me to wear this outside. So I put it on inside and she took a picture. I'm like, oh boy, now she's got evidence. I bet you she doesn't have that picture anymore, though. Maybe.
Maybe not.
I don't think so, though.
Best not to risk anything, James.
Yep.
You're like, it exists somewhere in the world.
Do you want us to edit that part out so they don't remember that they have it?
If I see that picture come up on Meg's Facebook feed, that'll be, oh boy, here we go.
It'll be funny.
It will. It'll be fun. You betcha.
I don't even know if she has it. But she took a picture when I put it on and I realized what I did was stupid and I took it off. But that was back in the day. Like I was 24, 25. I didn't want to be dressed up or anything.
Oh, she got you in your 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like when you lived with them in high school, in that high school year.
No. I didn't. I was one of the kids that got beat up in high school all the time.
Mm.
No, this was after they had moved to Edmonton and I moved with them and they had moved back and they were living on 110th Ave just across from the Petro-Can there.
Oh, the one that's up next to the police station. That Petro-Can?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. They lived like three houses down from the Petro-Can station on the north side of the
street. Small town talk. We know what you're talking about.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, you guys, you're familiar with the gas station?
No, it's been too long since I've been there.
It's been too long since you've been there, right? Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
I'm sure the police station is still where it's at, but I didn't know where it was.
Mm, yeah. Like, yeah, no, it's crazy because every time we go back up there, quite a bit.
Somewhere,
right? Yeah, quite a bit.
New
changed.
Traffic light and more people and more traffic. And there's a reason why I live in Hanna. There's absolutely zero traffic lights. It takes me 3 minutes to drive to work in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
I live 1 kilometer away from my work, and it takes me longer. But I have to take a scooter. I can get there in 8 minutes if I'm really fast, but I got to watch out not to hit the other students. Yeah, and I don't know how many traffic lights I have to pass to get there. Probably half a dozen.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah, you're like several.
That's the nice thing about living in a small town. Gotcha. Like, you know, you go block that way, you're at open field. You go block that way, there's a golf course. You go, most of the town is that way. But, you know, three and a half minutes, you're across town.
Yeah, pretty much. So before we moved into our house here, we actually lived in an apartment kind of on 12th Ave here and stuff.
It was
and
a complex.
So it faced the golf course. And if you stood on the deck, you could hear cows.
Yep.
So, because there's cows in the field past the golf course.
On Sunday afternoons, you hear the shotguns going off because the ski shooting range is just up the road there, too.
You betcha.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. No. we're in Redneckville here.
Like Peace Country's like that too.
Peace Country is worse Redneckville. That's rich Redneckville.
Yeah, it's different flavor.
Well, that's like roughnecks and rednecks.
Yeah, you betcha.
Big time.
Mm.
What was the question you should answer now?
Yeah, where are we at? Did we answer our questions?
What's next for Andrea?
No, I guess my next question might be, now that you've left the Peace Country, I've been a little bit farther south, what are some of the things that you really enjoyed about the Peace Country or miss about the Peace Country?
Trees.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you were telling us before the show started, the trees.
Yeah, trees. Trees. I miss trees. I miss being able to walk out into trees, pull off a branch, and start a fire. There's no trees down here. But yeah, where I grew up, my house, like our backyard was like, I remember going out, like, okay, I remember one weekend the scout leaders were being wusses and they canceled a winter camp out, and Matt Anderson came over and he said, okay, well, let's go camping out in the community forest. And so we walked half a kilometer basically between my house and the college in that community forest, where there's a bunch of trails now that groomed. Back then there wasn't, there was just like a goat trail. And we went out and we threw our sleeping bags on the ground, put some plastic down, started a big bonfire in the middle of nowhere. And we camped ourselves that weekend because the scout leaders were too much of wusses to go out and camp with us.
Remember what the temperature was?
Minus 10.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's like,
that's a nice winter camp.
It's a solid winter camp experience. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you build a big bonfire so, and you put your sleeping bag 3 inches away from it. So, you know, you stay warm.
You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. You're always fine. The biggest thing winter camping, you just need to have a big fire.
So that reminds me of my outdoor rec trip. So in grade 12, we had our outdoor rec class and we went on our camp out. And we were required to sleep outside for one night. And one of the groups that were in one of the tents lit a torch in their tent. They burnt the side of their tent. And me and my friend Mindy, we were kind of like huddled in there. And we had like a little pencil box that we put a bunch of tea lights in and kind of like lit them. And we're like kind of huddled around it. I think she had a hot water bottle. And like, I remember singing like, "The sun will come out tomorrow." Right? Just freezing. Because it was not minus 10. For the night that we chose, it was minus 25.
So, oh no. Oh.
It was significantly colder than, but we survived, right? Just a little bit more cold and maybe a bit hypothermic and like groggy the next day. But then we got to sleep in like the actual the cabins.
Where was this?
For the next light. So out at Cameron Lake.
Oh yeah.
And stuff. So yeah.
You should have tried sleeping in the old cabin at Cameron Lake.
I keep kicking myself because the next night it was only like minus 15 and stuff, minus 16. It's like, really? The night we had to pick had to be the like stupid cold one. Well, so.
Were you in the new cabins, like the ones we had for the Grand Reunion? No. Okay,
no,
so you did get to get the old gold cabins.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. No, no.
They were cold anyways.
Well, they're warmer than a tent.
We had scout camp there one year.
Right? Yeah.
So up north, they have a lack of scout leader volunteers. So I was voluntold to be a scout leader one year. And we used to do a winter camp at Cameron Lake every year. And these boys, they're idiots. There are squirrels around this camp everywhere, right? And they were throwing axes and knives at them. I'm like, you kill a squirrel, you're eating it.
Yeah.
Sure enough, Saturday night come around, they got a squirrel right between the eyes with the knife. They skinned it, they put it over the fire, and they ate it.
Oh, man.
Well, John Cantlon was there to watch them skin it and make sure they actually had it cooked so nobody died.
Yeah, that's good.
Proper preparation.
Preparation, yeah.
So, yeah, no, we missed the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Like, quite a bit.
The trees.
You know, I mean, there's family and people up there that we miss as well.
I miss the moose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Oh.
You know, wildlife. There's, you know, some of that stretch of road and the hills and the, you know, the valleys and the rolling. And so, like, so just the...
Yeah, but with those stretches of roads, they're like this, like down here, the roads are so long and so straight that, you know... Cops don't have anywhere to hide. Up there, you have to know where they are. You slow down at every single corner.
Every hill crest, you never know, just on the other side.
I actually got a ticket last summer. Just Cresting over a hill, yes.
The landscape. I do miss the landscape.
The wildlife I liked up there. I love to see a moose every once in a while. Well, it was on a weekly basis you'd see moose up there.
Yeah.
They're so abundant. I'm like buffalo if you go certain places.
They'd wander through your yard.
Oh yeah, no, no, wander through our backyard.
Right.
Deer. Oh my deer gosh. Were everywhere up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Remember that deer we saw on our way to that Christmas party in Hudson Hope that one
for
year?
Hudson Hope? Oh my gosh.
That was huge. It almost looked like moose size. Oh my gosh, deer.
It was so big. So it stopped right in the middle of the road and we like...
No, it was in the ditch.
Was it in the ditch?
The one that was in the ditch that stood up and like it was...
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I was thinking...
But there was another one on the road too.
There was another one.
The bigger one was in the ditch.
Yeah. But like the antlers on the on that trip, like that was... It was beautiful. And it like stopped and like looks at us.
And I'm driving a little neon.
Takes a moment and then decides to saunter off the road the rest of the way. Kind of like, you will stop for me. I own this road.
The deer has experience in a national park, knowing that people will stop for it.
There you go. Yeah, perhaps.
Let's give it the right of way.
Yeah. You've seen bighorn sheep.
Right? You'd think, though. I mean, there's enough like semi trucks and stuff like that that move a lot.
Not on that road.
No, I suppose not on that
road. Not on that road.
Because that one was the one where we went out to that...
The lodge that was on the lake there.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's Williston Lake.
Yeah, it was Williston Lake. And we were out there. I remember that night because Justin decided he was going to be a butthead. We're in bed and we're newlyweds. So, you know what's going on. And then Justin comes around, one of the guys I worked with, comes around to the patio and there's like 3 feet of snow on the patio. And so you hear him coming. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? He opens up the door to our room. Like, you're done. Pulls the door. He was plastered too. So it was funny.
This is a work party for your, for plumbing, like for the priority plumbing. Yeah, priority plumbing in Dawson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they definitely, they teased us a lot.
Oh yeah. 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 Mark went and sat down beside you and put me at the head of the table. And then he decided to eat your broccoli and
right off my plate. I was like, I was going to eat that. You can take my meat. I wanted my meat. No, they were a good group. Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. What? You should tell the story of what they did to you for before we got married.
Oh no.
Or not. Or do. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of a fun one. It makes me smile.
So I've been working there for what? 8-9 months?
Had it been that long? I feel like less than six, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I was working there for a while.
Mm.
And we're getting married in July. And so about a week before our wedding, I went downstairs and looked in the fridge. And usually there's just bottles of water and pop and stuff in the fridge. And I just happened to see there's like two cases of beer in there. I'm like, this is Thursday afternoon. I'm like, I informed my boss. I'm like, I'm going to Prince George's Umpire tournament, ball tournament this weekend. He's like, oh, okay. Looked a little disappointed. So the next week, we got married on a Wednesday, right?
We did. You betcha.
It was a Wednesday. So Tuesday, they were in the shop and he's like, okay, we need you to fish something out of there. So I bend over to fish something out of under, I don't know. Then Justin grabs me. I'm like, oh crap, what am I going on? And then they strap me to a chair, get the forklift, put it between the legs of the chair and lift me up and parade me out. So then they're thinking, well, then they start going into beer and they're like, I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, you get married tomorrow, right? I'm like, yeah. You're like, well, you took off for your stag party this weekend. I'm like, I know, I wasn't planning on a stag party. The shop was like 3 blocks off Main Street. So they took a ratchet strap, strapped me to the front of the forklift, lifted it up so I wasn't dragging on the street, and then they decided to drive the forklift down onto the edge of the street, and they jacked the forklift up 10 feet in the air, where I'm still sitting there, and then they put a sign underneath me said, kiss me free loving. Well, they parked in the Grumman van across the road and decided to drink beer and watch it. I remember they pulled up and said, James, we're going for more beer. Stay there. I'm like, because I can't move. Then they called the newspaper, and the newspaper came down, took a picture of me, and I was on the front page of the Dawson Creek Daily News the next day. And then, since they had an allegiance with the Fort St. John Daily News, and they knew I was an umpire, they put me in the sports section like 2 days later up at Fort St. John. So I have my buddy umpire Brad to thank for that. So yeah, that's what happened to me before we got married.
Right, in Dawson Creek. Yeah.
Which is nicer than what Mark did to his coworker down south.
Well, it's a great story for your posterity to hear.
Well, I was sober.
That's definitely a small town story.
Boy. Right.
Oh, for sure. Yep. So I can't remember if I had gotten a call or I was walking home from work. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. No, they called you.
Yeah. Okay.
So. They would have called you because we were only like 3 blocks from the mall, too, that you worked at.
Yeah.
And they left me out there as long as they could.
We got you down and you were okay.
Physically okay.
Sorry, I know. Yeah, there's other, you're like, there's other parts of the story that I'm, you're super mad about. I know.
They actually one.
It was all in good humor.
Oh, was right? It? Yeah, okay. So they had this one guy come by. Mm. And they're like, $20 for kissing him. And he's like, well, I'll pay you $20 to kiss him. So they lowered me down. This guy sits on my lap facing me. And I'm like, No, it ended up breaking his nose. I just went and slammed my forehead into it.
Oh, man.
I'm like, you're not kissing me.
Did you actually break his nose?
Or I don't
you
just, know.
You smucked him in the face
he,
with your
he
head.
Went away. Like, he went away. They gave him his $20 back.
Yeah.
I wasn't kissing him.
No, I know.
Yeah.
He put a $20 deposit down for a broken nose.
I'm so sorry, James. That sounds pretty unpleasant.
It was.
Yeah.
Because after he got off the thing, they jacked me back up again. Yeah. Sign up again.
Mm.
I survived.
You did.
I made it to the wedding the next day.
Yes, you did.
We're glad you survived.
I'm trying to remember if I went to the wedding.
No, it was really small. It was small. We did it.
It was really small.
Yeah, it was just my family, Will and Gary.
Yeah.
And then your family and Frankie. And that was it. Yeah. And we did it at like 6:30 at night.
Yeah.
So that everybody could make it there. And mm-hmm. my sister and her husband were still late. Then after that, we had a Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
Right. Yeah.
And we had the ice cream cake and a fruit tray from Safeway. Mm-hmm. And then after everything was all said and done, we said, piss off. We're going home. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yep. Simple as good.
Like, that's not what I said. But.
Well, I said piss off. I'm going home. You're more politically correct than I am.
It sounds a lot like what Jessica and I did.
What did you and Jessica do?
We got married at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Nice.
And then
cool.
After the pictures, we hopped on an airplane and left to England.
Great. You're like, we're good.
We booked our flights out for like 4 o'clock. So we got married at 1 o'clock and then left at 4.
Nice.
Perfect.
Right? Not the big old.
There was no party. There was hardly anyone there.
Well, you didn't have a party. We all went to dinner after and had a party.
Oh, they would have. Yeah. You're like, the people you left behind had a party anyways.
Yep. It was pretty great.
But wasn't a party like my wedding.
No, Preston's party was pretty good.
It's pretty big. Pretty
nice.
Good. I don't
were
think
we at yours, Preston?
No, I don't think we
I don't
were.
Think we were. Where did you get married?
It's in Edmonton.
No, I feel like, no, we've missed so many of the family weddings and stuff, so.
We do have a lot of cousins.
You're like, oh, only one or two dozen, right?
Well, when your father has 9 siblings.
I know, yeah, yep, yeah. We were laughing about that the other day. It's kind of like, there are 10 siblings and then several of them, because dad has, there are 7 kids, and then your family has 8. And like, yeah. It just... It adds up because there's multiples and stuff. So
well, yeah.
It makes branches out really far and makes for a big, big family.
Yeah, because my dad had, I think there was 8 in dad's family and 7 in mom's family.
Yeah.
But I got the small family feel because only 2 of dad's brothers immigrated over here with him.
That's right.
From England. And mom was the only American that came up.
Yes,
so, you know,
right.
I never saw my aunts and uncles unless it was summertime.
Yeah.
Down in the States.
You betcha.
And I only been to England once.
Did you guys go pretty regularly? Down?
Every year.
Every year, yeah. My parents too. Like we would go down and see my mom's family and stuff, at least like my grandma and grandpa,
even
down in the Seattle area every year.
Even right? after mom died, dad still took us kids down to see mom's family every year he could.
Yeah.
Like, they still love us. Like, we go to the reunion with the year that we went, right?
Oh, my goodness.
One of my old uncles came up and, like, looking at the license plate, BC, you're Dora's kid, aren't you? I'm like, yes, I'm Dora's kid. That's it. They just know if it's a Canadian license plate, it's Dora's kid.
It's one of Dora's, you bet. Yeah. Because when did your dad and his brothers, because did the, all three of them move at the same time?
No, Charlie was first, dad was Charlie next, was and first. Then okay. Vic came later. So dad would have immigrated over in 69.
Okay.
I think Charlie was here in 68, and I think Vic came in 72 or something. I don't know. I honestly don't know the dates exactly. I know that it had to be before because, well, Lucille mom and dad got married in 71.
Yeah.
And there was a long courtship with many trips down to with that purple Camaro at dad's down to the States to see mom.
Because she came up with her grandpa to work on that church.
To build the church building in Dawson Creek.
So his grandfather, And that's how your dad and mom had met.
Yep, that's how mom and dad met.
You betcha.
You know, that's how an Englishman meets an American and gets married and has... And then they moved to Fort Nelson and adopted my sister 2 months after they were married.
Right. Yeah. So, cause that's that. So the church that we were married in was the one that,
and the part that we were married in was the part that grandpa built. The
part that grandpa built. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Actually. Right?
Yeah. Because Grandpa Brown and Jim were both, you know, part of the Fort St. John church building as well for building it.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff
as
well, right? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
The stories he can tell. Yeah, yeah.
When Uncle Dave, say he was in the stake presidency for Dad's funeral. I think he presided and he told a story about Dad. He's like, you know, when people come to do yard work for a project, they usually bring, you know, a shovel, a couple rakes, stuff like that to not Jim Wheat. No, he pulled up with a truck and a D9.
A D9 Caterpillar?
Oh, he brought a big machine to go and start moving. Like, it was not a small cat. It was a big one that he brought. He had to pull it in on a low bed. They leveled the whole church lot down that day.
They sure did. So all that grade was done by that D9. And there's even a cracked sidewalk.
Yep. One of the sidewalks is from Dad, where Dad hit the sidewalk with the D9. I didn't know that until the funeral either.
Yeah.
Dad. And then your grandfather was there and he adjusted the prints to go and make the.
The choir seating, right?
The
choir seating, right? Yes. Made it wider so that there'd be room for the choir, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear about that one.
Your grandfather and my dad, they did a bunch of crazy stuff together. I know that because I remember going over Sunday afternoon. I think this is when Dad was out in camp a lot of the time, but we'd go over to your grandparents' house and we'd have Sloppy Joes.
Yeah.
Grandma would make that, and I was like, Jimmy, I'd pig out.
You'd help yourself.
No, I just eat lots.
Yeah. So no, it's really interesting how our families have like crossed paths and like intersected even before, you know, even before I was born. Ha ha. No.
Well, it was before you were born.
I know,
that was
right?
Like,
yeah. Like, well, your mom passed.
Mom passed away like
the year that I was born.
Like 7 months before you were born.
Pretty well, yeah. Because I think she passed in
May,
and I was born in December.
Yeah.
So I never did get to meet her. That house down in like in Charlie Lake and stuff is like it's got a lot of heritage and a lot of, you know, and legacy to it for sure. So.
Yeah, I'm just going over that house and all the plumbing system I've ripped out of there since then.
Yes, no, because you've definitely updated some things right?
Well, looking at the way the plumbing was done, I'm like, yeah, this reminds me of something my dad would have done or had some input in.
For sure, yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I think what the start of our question was, what do you miss about the piece? And it's like, oh man, and
miss the memories.
Man, did we segue? We segue
it's okay.
Hard.
it's great. It's been really great to have you on the show. There's, I think the dynamic of having both of you has been very beneficial.
Oh,
instead of having only one of you on, so thank you both for being on. It's been really fantastic.
Do you guys have more questions for us? Or you're like, it's 11 o'clock where I am.
It's midnight with Gerritus.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up.
Yeah,
yes.
And call for it. Sure.
But we're very grateful. Do you have any more comments, Preston, before I wrap up?
No.
Okay.
We didn't hear much from you guys. I'm like,
man of few words.
Well, we're not here to hear my story.
So thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James. We're very grateful to our listeners as well. And if you want to share feedback with us or write in a story for us to share, you can email us at lifenorthofthe54th@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at peacecountrylife.ca/feedback. So thank you again for both of you, and look forward to seeing you around again. It's been a long time. Thank you.
No, thanks to you as well. Like, it's been fun.
Yes, thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.